with Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 558 of the Bold and the Brave Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by our most favorite nutrition expert who knows everything there is to know about the human body. And she has been at this for so long, and we have had her on. She's our go-to. It is the one, the only, Dr. Susan Kleiner. Hey, you.
Hey, Pam. How are you?
What up?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, what up? So for all of you out there, she's written more books than, my God, I wasn't even alive when half these things were, just kidding. But like, oh my gosh, just fantastic. The New Power Eating is one of my most favorite of all. And it really gets into what a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. You've got to run on over to her website, DRS. So DRS is in Sam, Kleiner, Kleiner.com, because your mind will be blown away. She is the owner and founder of High Performance Nutrition, and she's a globally recognized trailblazer in nutrition and human performance. Now, today, the challenge is, today we're going to be talking about something I'll put money on that the grand majority of you don't know anything about, okay? And what is that? That is something called body recomposition. What? So you know what body composition is. We look at our body composition, you stand on one of those scales or you do one of the more fancy ways of being able to estimate your body composition, and what you're going to find is fat, muscle, bone, water is measured as well, and you look at all the percentages, or you look at the actual amounts in pounds, etc., and you say, okay, well, that's where I am, and then you go, oh, man, this does not look good. If it's one of these apps that has, like, the red zone,
oh.
And then it's got the yellow... Seriously, I'm actually using one like that. And it's like, I feel like I'm driving. Am I going to hit a red light here? So the red is like, whoa, okay, that's not good. Whatever we're looking at, because many of these apps look at visceral fat. And as you know, you need visceral fat. That's very important. But too much of it is extremely dangerous. We don't want that. So that's a red zone kind of situation. We got to watch that. So we got that. Now, let's just say you look at those numbers and it's like looking a little parsimonious, say, in terms of good stuff here, one way or the other. Okay? So now, what do you do? Do you, and I quote, go on a diet? Do you resort to extreme stuff? Like, I'm just going to move into a gym. I'm just never leaving. That's it. We're done here.
Actually, that would be okay with me. No.
Okay, see, you need help. There are groups for people like you. Sue, I'm right there with you, man. I'd be sitting there on the weight bench going, this is where I'm sleeping tonight.
Right, yeah.
Okay, you find, why don't you go to the stretching pad and go to sleep? But seriously, that's exactly what a lot of people do. They just go from,
right.
Oh my God, to extreme. And they know the trip by now. Come on now. Has that ever worked? No. So a new concept has been born of an old concept, and that came from the bodybuilding era. So let's go back to the history of these words, body recomposition. What does that mean? Where did it come from, Sue?
So, yeah, back in the day.
God, I hate that.
When we think about the physique athletes, when we think about bodybuilding as way underground, and especially bodybuilding for women, even more subterranean, the question always was, I can get to a certain point of physique, the way I look, my muscles showing, kind of, but can I get what we call ripped? Can I really have my muscles pop out? How do I do that? And the concept was, can we make our, I mean, these are the words, right? I want my skin to look paper thin. Obviously, it wasn't, but it's an image so that you look like your muscles are right at the surface, that there's no what we call subcutaneous fat, that there's nothing between, you know, kind of your skin and your muscles popping out. And in order to do that, there had to be sort of the last layer of fat had to go. And so we called that, when they were right at the margin, recomp. How can you get rid of that last layer of fat? So now you've got somebody who is, it's hard to say very fit when we're talking about the bodybuilding community and the eating and the strategies it take to look like that. However, they are so close, but not quite. And that's kind of where recomp came from. Where can I find the last layer so that I supplant that last little bit of fat with muscle? And that was the origin.
So the concept of recomposition is that you could take whatever your body composition is at that moment, and you can hold on to or build muscle. At the same time, you're also taking down fat. So what you're actually doing is recreating, as it were, to a certain degree, your body composition based upon where you're starting, whatever your start point
is. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what the actual word means.
Right. So yeah, can I hang on to my muscle and lose more fat? Or can I gain more muscle and lose fat at the same time? That's the ultimate question. Can we grow and shrink at the same moment?
So the arrows are going up and down. Okay.
Exactly.
So you're doing both.
Right.
All right. So that being said, that's what these people did. And as we all know, bodybuilders have used extreme diets for years because they have to if they're going to do their shows and all the rest of it. And this was something that's been kicking around and kind of very well known, familiar with the bodybuilding community. And then it's all of a sudden, it's had this very interesting resurgence over the course of the last dozen years or so. And actually so much so that scholarly studies are now taking place and being published about this entire phenomenon, because there's new knowledge about the human body and body composition that we can now leverage. And that includes nutrition, which we'll talk about, and physical activity, how to optimize both without driving yourself insane. And that's a short drive. So you've got that going on. At the same time, guess what, folks? Were you aware of the fact that this year, there were no top diets of 2026. The diet thing is dead, dead. Put a fork in it. It's gone. So if that's gone and you want to be able to get healthier, well, people are now beginning to pivot to a more optimal body composition. Because we now understand that the muscle and the brain communicate, that fat and muscle and the brain communicate, that the bone is thrown in there at the same time. These are all organ systems, believe it or not. And these are networked at an extraordinarily intricate level, so that now we see that by optimizing muscle, for instance, for health, no matter where you're starting, whether you're an elite athlete or you're just somebody out there, okay? When you do that, you're able to increase the quality of your life, your health span, and actually your longevity as well. So how cool is that? Suddenly, you know, it's so interesting. It's like people looked at their body like it's a bunch of body parts, and then they walked away and they said, oh, well, I have to make sure my brain is okay for longevity, and my heart, and make sure my blood sugar. But wait a minute, whoa, those body parts are critical to being able to achieve that goal. So that's where this whole issue of recomposition came from. So I want you all to think about yourselves as sort of a Michelangelo, okay? He's kind of looking at this big slab of marble. And he's saying, how can I try to optimize? How can I create something that is reasonable and realistic? Now, come on now. You're not going to turn yourself into a Serena Williams. That's not happening. Only Serena could do that. But what if you could just optimize what you got? And by doing that, you know, what you want to do is grow muscle and minimize your fat load. Most importantly, your visceral fat load. So, Dr. Sue, you're the expert on manipulating, for instance, dietary intake in doing all of this. And I'm just curious, how does one look at recomposition from the standpoint of how you nourish yourself as well as exercise? Exercise we'll talk about in a second, but let's go to, I'm looking at one of your favorite chapters in that power book, Managing Fat. I loved that.
So what I like about this growing conversation of recomposition is that it doesn't work if you really restrict your diet. Your energy intake, your protein intake, even your carbohydrate intake and your fat intake and all the nutrients that we need. If the concept is to grow at the same time that you're minimizing or decreasing your fat, you can't starve your body because at that point, all you're doing is losing fat and muscle. So every time we gain, we typically gain. This was always the dogma. When we gain weight, well, first of all, let's describe what weight is on a scale. It's the relationship of your body to gravity, right? It doesn't tell us anything else. That's all it says is that you are here on Mother Earth, and this is what gravity does to the mass of your body. It shows up in this number on the scale.
Which is why you weigh nothing up there in that space capsule.
I know. Wouldn't that be lovely? So watching that number alone never tells us what's happening. And what we know is whenever you lose weight, almost all the time, you are losing a proportion of muscle as well as fat. Ideally, we want to lose more fat than muscle, but it's always a proportion. And when you gain, you are gaining a proportion of muscle and fat. It's all working together. The goal is, obviously, if you're only looking at the scale, muscle should go up, fat should go down. However, we do that. However, if you are really restricting energy, protein, well, then the proportion of muscle that you lose will be greater as you lose weight. And as you gain weight, we do need to eat more, of course, and that's a different kind of concept than what we're talking about right now. But so the idea is, how do I find the sweet spot where I'm eating enough so that I hang on to the most muscle? And what we're seeing now is even gain some lean mass. And within that lean mass, especially for us ladies, is not just muscle, it's bone and it's our organ tissue. And so when we're losing and we see a loss of lean body mass because we're restricting so much, we are also losing bone. And so if we could hang on to what we've got and perhaps gain and lose the fat, that takes eating enough and a certain type of exercise so that we can trigger the muscle to keep working and wanting to hang in there, as well as eating enough protein so that we can maximize everything else that the body is trying to do to meet your goal. And so what we used to do only with bodybuilders, we used to always say, you can't gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. The body can't be, as we say scientifically, anabolic and catabolic in a growth phase and a loss phase at the same time. That's just not the way energy works. However, what we are seeing, even though we're not actually measuring moment to moment, is that over a period of time, it actually looks like that if you do this well.
So something that everyone out there in the Her Podcast land needs to appreciate is the fact that in the old days, we'd starve ourselves. You know the drill. Raise your hand. Yep, that's exactly what I thought. Everyone has gone through that. It's like, it's sort of intuitive. Well, if I'm going to drop weight, I just stop eating. Okay, well, there's just one small problem, and that is the human body's number one prerogative is survival. And it will do anything to get you into that survival place. You do not want to trigger your body into doing a rebound in a big way. So I believe the literature and the experts state that if you want to create a caloric deficit while you're also at the same time amping up your protein, which we're going to get to in a second, right? Then the actual caloric deficit should never go beyond 300 calories. That ideally, it's about 10% of, you know, what you've been eating. So if you figure it's like 2,000 calories, 10%, 200 calories. So 200 to 250 calorie deficit is quite safe. Why? Because it flies under the radar of the trigger.
Exactly.
In the human body. 300 is beginning to push it, but then it depends upon how big you are. And like if 10% of 3,000 calories is 300, well, you know, if you're a bigger person in a big way. So what does that do? It allows the body to have enough of a deficit to make a dent into your fat. At the same time, now pivot, drum roll, over to protein. Now, I got to tell you something about protein. I didn't pay much attention to it for half my life. You know, the good news is I always found great protein around, but I wasn't sitting around calculating and trying to figure out which way is up. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that nutrition science was aired on a very low level relative to like active little campers like you and I, Sue, because we're both very athletic. So it would be like a 0.6 per kilogram per body weight. And, you know, and so I never paid attention. Once I got hep to what was happening in protein land, and this is the work of Stu Phillips and others, what I began to realize was that, and this is brand new research rolling out over the last several years, that as you age, you need more protein for a lot of reasons. And you need to keep up with that protein, or you're heading down that critical path toward frailty, because you will drop some lean body mass, that's your muscle mass, in your 60s. That's an age-related issue that everyone undergoes. So you want to bank a bunch of muscle here so that when you actually go through your 60s, it's like, nah, you know, sort of a nothing burger. Yes, it's going to impact athletic performance, no question. But is it going to significantly impair your activities of daily living? Hell no. No, you'll be fine. Trust me. Trust me. So yeah, trust me means I've been there. Right. So now what we're looking at then is this protein issue. So now the numbers have changed so that it's 1.6 grams per kilogram body weight is a really nice sweet spot. So if you're a woman who is, say, 200 pounds, all right, and that is very common today, all right? Work with me here, ladies and gentlemen. It's very common because 42% of women are obese in this country right now. All right. So I'm not just making this stuff up. So if you've got 200 pounds on board, and if you divide that 200 pounds by 2.2, you'll know what your kilograms are. And then if you multiply that times 1.6, which Sue is doing right now, I can see, then you're going to, wait a minute, drum roll. How much protein? I can guess.
Yeah, it's 145 grams a day.
Yep. And so now, here's the next question. Where in the hell do I find 145 grams of protein? So now you have to become a super smart person about protein. Now, let me tell you what happens. If you don't hit 145, nobody died.
Right.
Okay. Right. If you were to like hit 120, it's like, bring it on. It's a hell of a lot better than what you were doing. And I know what you were doing because you were not doing your little protein thing.
Well, one little caveat.
Oh, no.
Depending on how tall this woman is. So if this woman at 200 pounds is 6 feet tall and is maybe 40 pounds overweight, if we want to talk about weight, or her body composition will not be as significantly higher in fat versus a woman who's 5'2", 5'4", 5'5", 5'6" at 200 pounds. What we can do, because 145 grams of protein a day is a lot, we can say, well, based on your body composition, let's figure out what your protein need is based on how much lean mass you have. Then we're feeding what we want to feed, and we can drop the protein intake.
So what you're saying, and this is why I brought up 200 pounds, because it's one thing to be, let's go to this place. What if she was 5'9", 150 pounds? Okay. So now, what is that, 65?
About, yeah.
Yeah, about 65 times 1.6, something like that. 65 or 75. Can't remember, then it's very reasonable. It is then about 120, right?
Right.
And right. And so 120 you could definitely get to, and I'll Sue and I'll both lead you down that beautiful path. Because honey, I've had to work this sucker out. I mean, this is like, do I eat half a cow a day? I'm just asking. It's like, do I grab a goose? What do I do? Like, how do you do this whole protein thing? And actually, it turns out it's completely manageable, assuming you're not an NFL player or Michael Phelps in the Olympics, where the amount of food and protein he had was literally through the poor guy had to eat like 24/7 to keep
up. He loved it.
And even with that, the guy was skinny as a rail. I mean, right. Outside of that incredible musculature
that he had. About 10,000 calories a day. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. So let's go to this place. Now, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that something magical happened. Stu Phillips warned me about this a while back when I first started talking to him about it. He said, oh man, are you going to feel satiated? And your most triggering sweet or whatever that really gets you into a binge mode can be stuffed right under your nose and you're like, nah, not doing it. And even some of the most food addicted people, when they get enough protein on board, it really alters their appetite and food consumption. So I didn't quite believe that in the beginning. And then it was one of the first times I actually switched over to, I think I was swinging around 1.2, 1.4 for a while. So I went to 1.6. OMG. I felt phenomenal. I was so satiated, but not stuffed. There's a difference. In other words, my brain was like, honey, we're done for the day. Okay? Read me. Read my lips. Read my brain lips. We're done. And anything could float by, right? And I'd say, eh, whatever. I'm not interested. And it had nothing to do with discipline or grinding my teeth. It was like, nah, you know, I'm like really satiated right now. So protein is crazy with satiation, right?
It's also, I mean, there's been fascinating research. Dr. Jose Antonio and his students in Florida did this fascinating research with active young people, of course. Now, always underneath all of this is that you're active, right? I mean, sitting on the couch and eating like this is better, but it's not going to be mission driven, let's just say.
So, yeah, we're not going to optimize health that way.
So in his study, he gave 3 grams, 4 grams of protein per kilogram per day, and there was no weight gain. They did not gain fat. They were training. They were higher in calories than they had been eating. And the protein was metabolized, utilized, and there was no negative side effects either, no kidney issues. Anyone who's worried about that, there's just, if you've been diagnosed with a kidney issue, pay attention to what your physician tells you. But beyond that, if you are otherwise healthy, there are no negative side effects, certainly to the amounts of protein that we're talking about, and they will not sort of replace the other important foods in your diet. You still need to eat the fruits and vegetables, grains and beans, nuts and seeds, and dairy, the important food that belongs in your diet. But not to forget that we get protein from all of those sources, less from some. Fruits and vegetables don't give you much. Grains and beans give you a boatload, and so does dairy. And so we start to realize that there are lots of places to get protein other than that half a cow.
Okay, now, when we come back, we're going to get down to the practical level. Where is all this protein hidden? And we're going to figure out how you do that 120 grams a day.
The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back.
And we're back. Okay, Dr. Sue. So I'm going to tell you what I found. And that is using some form of protein powder most definitely helped. It gives me a really quick slam and I'm good. Now, that's just something integrated into my whole foods. But many times it just works for me. And so I love that. And I will use either whey protein or I could use pea protein, which is also excellent. There are other forms as well. So that's a no-brainer thing. I actually add the damn thing to my coffee in the morning. My coffee, okay, Sue, work with me here. So my coffee is so loaded with stuff, it's like ridiculous. So I first put in, and listen, shout out folks to creatine. Creatine is absolutely one of the most essential supplements a woman should be taking for her cognitive performance as well as for her muscles. So it's a double. You get a royal win-win. So I put my 5 grams of creatine powder into the coffee. And then I also put in a scoop of my vanilla-flavored whey protein powder. So it kind of gives it that little kind of rich taste. And then I have a cappuccino machine and I just crank that sucker up. And OMG. So now I have protein on board, my creatine. And of course, I'm strategically thinking about when I'm doing my exercise. So now I'm primed because creatine will help drive that protein into the muscle and facilitate the ability with my weightlifting and such to be able to build muscle. So that's a good thing. So I'm thinking about this holistically. It's not just all about nutrition. It's like, what's the timing of my workout? So I'll have that coffee thing and then off I go. And I do my workout. So now my muscles are like, bring it on. And of course, I've had my yogurt with it and that type of thing. I'm just sort of trying to put that together. And then, Sue, let's talk about how people can accrue protein from some surprising sources throughout the day. People blow off things like pumpkin seeds. You get 8 grams of protein.
You have to eat quite a few pumpkin seeds, but yes, you do.
I do pumpkin seeds like they're going out of style. I'm doing chia. I'm doing flaxseed.
Seeds are super important every day. Yeah. So the concept of whole foods, you know, I'm a registered dietitian and we talk about food first and use supplements when you must. And pretty much most people I know, certainly every athlete I have ever worked with, it becomes an important convenience to use protein supplementation. It is not a requirement. Some people can get along without it, but it is a really important convenience, and we can make it into a fun, delicious ritual like you have, Pam. And ritual is also a really important thing in our lives. It de-stresses us. Why should you be stressing about, oh my God, where am I going to get this protein from? Now you can have something that you look forward to every day that's delicious, that's a real treat. And so everyone's got different strategies. For me, if we're sharing how we get our protein in.
Share.
In the morning before my lifting workouts or everyday workouts, I love cereal. And so I eat it's called puffed kamut. Kamut is just a whole grain. It comes in the big bags like puffed rice does, except it's a different wheat. You can order it online. You can find it in stores. Anyway, it's just a plain puffed grain. And I take my cup of milk, regular cow's milk. I like skim milk, but you can use whatever milk you want. I put it in a shaker bottle. In that shaker bottle goes a scoop of whey protein, my creatine, a little bit of collagen, in fact, and even a little bit of a fiber supplement goes in there as well. I shake all of that up and I pour it over my cereal in the morning. And I have my coffee separate because I'm kind of a coffee nerd and I like it black and just drink it the way I drink it. But in that space, yeah, I get, I put fruit on there. And so there's many ways to skin a cat, as they say. So that's how I get my protein. But the areas where you can get protein, and one of the things about protein that we're finding, especially as we age, is that eating it in smaller sort of portions throughout the day, let's say 5 25-gram portions a day. So you've got 3 meals and 2 snacks, and every time you're eating a snack, you're having a good slug of protein. The body uses it better. It's not used. It doesn't bad for you to have 50 grams all at once, but as we age, we metabolize, digest, absorb all of that a little better when it's in a little bit smaller amounts. And so think about, don't forget your eggs. And when you're eating your eggs, which each egg is 7 grams of protein, you're getting in all the great important fats that are in that egg. You're getting in a very important B vitamin, choline, that is absolutely essential, that we're all too low in America because everyone's throwing out their egg yolks and it's in the yolk. So you've got your eggs, you've got milk, cheese, yogurt, all of these have really good amounts of protein. Certainly any kind of meat, fish. Don't forget, you can have fish for breakfast. So if you had fish the night before, you can have it leftovers in the morning. And just thinking about, as you were saying, Pam, it's really important to have nuts and seeds every day. A portion of nuts and seeds, and you get protein from those nuts and seeds as well. And if you lean more toward animal protein in your regular food, maybe use a vegetable source, a plant source of protein as your supplement. Variety is one of the keys to good nutrition. And so using a soy protein, or as you say, a pea protein, make sure that it is a complete protein source.
And quinoa.
Our grains, of course, our whole grains, we should all be having at least 3 servings of whole grains a day. More is better if you can fit those calories into your diet. And so every slice of whole grain bread gives you 2 grams of protein, and it doesn't have to be a processed even to bread or pasta. It can be the actual whole grain. Cook it like we cook rice, just as easy to cook it and really delicious, and adds every little third of a cup is going to add several grams of protein. So don't get anxious. Just get busy and start to think about, oh, what if I had one more snack? Start out small. One more protein-rich snack a day. Add a glass of milk if you're a milk drinker, or
the other thing too is don't forget, yogurt is phenomenal. You see, you have your dry cereal, as it were. I have my yogurt. So I have one of the Icelandic yogurts, and that's 15 grams right there. And then I add walnuts. So I'm really bumping up the protein here because they're my nuts. So that works out really well. That with that loaded coffee is what I love to call it. I'm ready. It's like, bring it on.
Right.
You know, we can do this.
Right.
And don't forget cheese. Cheese is wonderful. A slice or 2 slices of Havarti or any of those, 10 grams of protein right there. Cottage cheese has become a real go-to for me.
Yes.
I love, love, love that. I put on dill weed and I have a lot of fun with it. So there are so many places to do this, but I also discovered another benefit, Sue, and that is when you become more protein-centric, suddenly your whole diet starts to clean up, because what are you going to have with that protein? You want to have a little vegetables, maybe, you know, you're going to have an apple afterwards, or you start thinking about it differently versus what I've heard, and I'm sure you have too, for so long. It's like, I don't know what to eat and I don't know where to begin. I'm like, I know, protein. And then you kind of go from there. And the first time I hit 120 grams of protein, I just sat there and I said, this is completely doable. This is totally doable. Now, let's go to a very interesting place. We have a lot of people out there in the Her Podcast land who are thinking, I know what you're thinking. Why? Because I have ESP. All right. And I'm a woman, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Okay. So you're saying, how the hell fast does all this recomposition take place? Like normally I put myself on an extreme diet and I deprive and I live in a gym somewhere and that's kind of been my playbook. What if I'm now asking you to instead look at your body like that lump of marble, good old Michelangelo, and just say, I would like to optimize my muscle. I want to minimize the fat, especially the dangerous stuff in the viscera. And you obviously can measure that in your body composition analysis. All right. So, but how fast does this take place? Because if I starve myself, ooh, I look at my scale, that little gravitational scale that Dr. Sue was talking about, little gravity scale, and look at that. Wow, I'm coming down. What's really happening is that you're dropping a boatload of water, because water and carbohydrate go hand in hand. So if you've suddenly done like, oh my God, I'm not going to do any carb for the rest of my, okay, fine. We know where this is going to go. And so really important to understand, you got a boatload of water coming off, number one. Number two, please God, do not lose muscle, but you will lose muscle. And so if you do it that way, where you're not feeding muscle, you're not nourishing muscle, and let's just say you go to the gym and you try to kill yourself all day long, and you're not eating enough, and you're saying, oh, I'm going to real quickly be able to fit into those jeans. Yeah, you will. The problem is you're going to be fatter because you've dropped muscle mass, so relatively speaking, and you're not going to look healthy or fit, okay? You're going to look kind of sick. So if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. So the key here is to just be patient. It takes absolutely longer. It definitely takes longer. But here's the cool thing, and Sue, correct me if I'm wrong. For every more optimal change that occurs in your body composition as you measure it on a monthly basis. This is not something you ever measure on a weekly basis. It takes a while to shift stuff around. So every 4 to 5 weeks-ish, okay? For all those changes that have taken place, guess what they are? Sustainable. This is something you could do and hold on to. Build a foundation and keep building that foundation. So how are we going to calm down all these little happy campers who for years have been doing this whole gig about, let's go fast, let's get this over with. When I went to TikTok and I saw people, my God, in 1 week, they said that they had dropped an enormous amount of weight and all the rest of it. How do we calm them down, Dr. Sue?
Well, so the first thing is I love the idea of thinking of Michelangelo and looking at just a slab of marble and how the stories of him and other sculptors or wood carvers who say it's the piece of marble that talks to me and lets me know how to shape it. It comes from the inside out. Well, that's what we can do if we nourish ourselves well. Our body will shape itself. The paradigm that I use for power eating is, I say eat more because this was a book written really for athletes. So eat more to gain energy, to train harder, to gain muscle. And if you need to lose fat, you will. And so that's the order.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. Fat loss will happen as you go along.
Exactly.
And it's almost, when I say the word effortless, I mean, obviously you're working out, you're paying attention to your nutrition. That's not effortless. I mean, you're working it. But it's not like every day you wake up going, ugh, you know, bite your tongue, grind your teeth. It's all about, you know, like somehow I'm going to soldier through this versus I'm going to have some really awesome whole foods today that are going to be tasty and they're going to nourish my wonderful muscles. And by the way, again, a woman, I don't care how old you are, you could still build muscle.
Oh,
so if you're
100%.
60 or 70 and you say, oh, it's over for me. No, Dr. Sue.
We're going to gain strength. We are going to gain tone. We're going to pull all that stuff in when those muscles are working. We're going to stand up straighter. Our posture will be better. Those pants, I promise you, will fit better. And you, like, no one's going to turn into Arnold, right? I mean, no one, if we could do that, somebody would be making a lot more money than you and I make. But the key is you're adding life to your years. When you do this, when you go on a diet to go off a diet, which is really what Americans do, we go on diets to go off them. We yo-yo. So that person who is out there cutting carbs, cutting calories, starving themselves for the wedding 3 weeks from now and getting into that red dress for the cruise or whatever, they know 2 weeks later, they're going to be back where they started from, or perhaps even worse.
Worse.
Because as you said, now you've lost muscle. We're watching people on GLP-1 drugs lose 40% of their fat loss as muscle. That is astounding. They are in high-risk categories to begin with if they are morbidly obese. So there's a lot of risk calculation going on with all of this. But if you are choosing to look at how can I eat well, nourish myself, get to the place I want to go, and you are mission driven to actually enhance your health span, as Dr. Pam was talking about at the beginning, well, then this is the strategy. Eat more protein. Don't think about, I always say, think about what you need to eat, not what you can't eat next. That is, don't eat by default, whatever's around. And you don't have to eat those. I just saw them at Costco. They are chicken breast chips to get your protein in.
I know. I'm seeing protein now in everything. No. Okay. Listen to me out there. No, stop that stuff. What you want to do is get it from Whole Foods. Okay, number one, appropriately high caliber protein powder that you can actually mix with some really great stuff to make a shake that really works for you. Now let's go to the protein bars.
I know.
If you go to a market right now, I don't care where you are, they have all the, I mean, literally a wall of protein bar. Come on now, protein. Okay, go for it, Sue.
I'm going to say, walk away from there, go to the frozen food sections and look for frozen edamame. I mean, the best snack food you can find takes some of them. I don't know if it's so good for microplastics to cook in the bag. They have some of those, but I mean, it's about as easy as you can get. It's soybean in the pod. It is a Japanese style food that I've been eating, I think, for 40 years already. And you cook it for 3 minutes. You salt it and you sit and you pop those out like you're eating peanuts at the ballpark. And it is a fabulous protein source. And you can take those everywhere. Just like you can take a hard-boiled egg with you if it's in the shell.
Nuts.
It doesn't need to be refrigerated.
I always take almonds with me.
Take things with you. Take those mozzarella cheese sticks with you. Take real food. The conversation is so convoluted now. And if I were not a nutritionist, and sometimes I even get confused, but I can't imagine you're hearing protein, protein, protein. You're seeing all this ultra processed food come out with protein in it. And then you're told, don't eat ultra processed foods. And so it is very confusing. And what we want to do is tell you it's not. If you need something super convenient and you're not going to bake it yourself at home, then get the least processed bar you can get and don't worry too much about the protein in there. If you need a ready-to-go snack, get a mozzarella stick and get a good whole grain bar. The old school granola bars, the different ones, don't try and pack everything into that little bar. Now you're looking for a super duper ultra processed food that may not be helping you any more than it's hurting you. So from my point of view, if you need that on the go snack, you're hiking, you're whatever, try and take whole food with you. Apples, peanuts, right, all the different nuts,
dried
fruit.
I put almond butter on apple.
There's a great choice.
Or you could do a number of different bean dips.
Right.
That'll work like a charm. But as we're drawing this to a close here, let me just make sure everyone out there is clear. The diet weird thing where you're excluding an entire macronutrient is dead. That's dead. And it should remain there. We buried it. Okay. To do anything extreme to the human body. Now, I'm eliminating elite athletes and the crazy stuff they do. But for just all of us soldiers out there, okay, the body likes to work on its own rhythm. It cannot stand it when you try to do something rapid and very extreme. It will rebound on you. And it'll rebound in the worst way because your body is primal and is trying to get you back to a survival mode in its little algorithm. And that may not be yours, but it's the body's. So don't do that. What I'm arguing for is look at the quality, not just the quantity. Add quality and quantity together. And I'm going to tell you something. This weekend, I'm up for my next body composition analysis. I'm going to take a little look at it. And you know what I look at, folks? First thing I look at is visceral fat. Where am I? Because that internal fat is exceptionally critical for your life. But when it becomes excessive, then it impacts upon your mortality. And so I look at the visceral fat. Am I in the little green zone? I love those green zones. Okay, number one. Number two, I look at my muscle. And if I've gained muscle, okay, have you ever seen me do the happy dance? I mean, I just like do the little happy dance. It doesn't look great, but it makes me happy. So I do the happy dance, like bring it on. Because what I've done is add another little cylinder under the hood. And that makes me metabolically hotter and more efficient at cooking my calories. And then, quite frankly, the rest of whatever's on my body composition analysis is quite interesting and everything. And then I do one last thing, and I'm sure you do it too, Sue. I grab my little tape measure and I do my waist circumference. So I do actually two measurements. One is right across my belly button, and the other one is what we love to call the pooch. Okay, lovingly called the pooch. I actually made this very famous with one of my books, and I'm now in Webster's. I'm not sure I'm happy about this, but I'm known as the menopot doctor. And so I decided when I wrote one of my books that I would call it the menopot, because there it was. It's like, whoa, what happened there? So I like to look at both measurements, and then I also have my clothesometer. It's my infamous clothesometer. So I get this one pair of jeans that I've had for like 25 years. You know, the joke is it's not even the right size thing anymore because they've cheated on all the sizes and everything. So I put the thing on, and if it fits, I'm good. You know, if it doesn't fit, what does that mean? Oh, I became so muscular, I can't get into this. No, that's a lie. Maybe we got a little fluffier. So we just have to maybe use that as a monitor. So I use all these little tools when I'm trying to look at my body composition. Does that make sense, Sue?
Oh, yeah. I have a dress that...
You got the dress.
I got the jeans. That was fitted to me just exactly, right? Altered just to fit. It's a, you know, it's like a sheath dress, you know, it just fits perfectly. And if that doesn't zip up quite as nicely,
okay, we know what that means. That means that it's like, let's rein it in.
Yeah,
rein it in.
Same spot.
Listen, you are amazing. You are absolutely amazing. Everyone out there, please look up our wonderful Dr. Susan Kleiner. Tell everyone the best website.
So drskleiner.com, you spelled it out because it looks so silly, drskleiner.com. The Dr. Kleiner website was taken by someone when I tried to buy
How
it
rude.
Years ago. I know. So drskleiner.com, drskleiner.com. I don't do a lot on social media, but you'll see that I'm a bread baker if you find me at Power Eat on Instagram or on Facebook at Susan Kleiner. But I, like I said, I'm not, or Dr. Susan Kleiner on Facebook, but not big on there. But I do share a lot of my colleagues, our colleagues' scientific studies. I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably where I'm the most active.
We'll just hop on over there and scope it out. Dr. Kleiner, Sue, thank you so much for being on the Her Podcast once again.
Always a pleasure, Pam. Thank you so much.
And thanks to our sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs Rooted in Nature, and the new Her Life Stages products. Scope them all out at Solaray, SOLARAY.com, and take a moment to leave us a review right now. Because you know what we do? We sit around waiting for those. We love them. Love, love, love. All right. This has been a production of Podcast Health. And as I always say, remember your time in this world may be a tad limited, but the things you can do with it are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Have a good one, everyone.